Welcome, y'all. Welcome back.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Trigger Warning Podcast, where we want you to always stay triggered.
Because being triggered is our GPS to where
To
we need
life.
to be free, where we need to do some healing, some releasing, some purging, have some awareness. So being triggered is not a bad thing. But welcome. We are in our second episode of our second season. My gosh, last the what was it? The premiere episode. What we talk about? We was talking about.
Untold the truth about yourself.
There we go. There we go. The uncomfortable truths that we learned about ourselves, and we did it live, y'all. It was such a good conversation. But you know what I realized? We forgot. How we forget? I guess because we hadn't been in our flow for a minute, but we completely forgot to do our whole win lesson, do for self. Like we do that every episode. That's crazy. So we definitely not gonna forget today. So what's a win you got? You got a win for me?
My win is literally not bending my boundaries for anyone. That's a win for me, coming from a person that was a former people pleaser. And when I say former, I'm not saying like years ago. I mean like 6 months ago, I would bend anything for anyone that I cared about, but not anymore.
Oh, that's dope. That's dope. And I like truly feel that because I think there's levels to people pleasing, you know? It's sometimes it don't even like it doesn't even sometimes register to us as people pleasing. So I definitely feel that, but I think that's dope. My win, I would say, is honestly, because like last week I was in a little bit of burnout, and a little bit, a lot of it. And but I came back, like I gave myself what I needed, some rest and things like that. But I realized I was like, okay, we gotta adjust some things on the schedule. You know, I do. We got a lot going on, right? So I'm excited and proud that I adjusted some things to kind of streamline my schedule and stuff. And I'm actually like excited about how it is. Like I had things kind of like spread here and there, and I thought that was good, but it just, I feel like now kind of making certain days for certain things like clients and content and things like that is gonna really help. So I'm excited about that. That's a major win. I know somebody's probably listening to this and like, girl, you did your schedule. That's, but for me, it,
No, it works. And what works for you works for you. And your content has been chef's kiss. Check out my TikTok when you get off, and then you're gonna be like, oh, let me find out. Yeah. I'm popping out.
let me, girl, let me find out. Listen, for real, for
Let you find out.
real.
One day I aspire to be as good as your content, but we're gonna get there day by day.
Listen, we all got ways to go. It's, you know, it's not where I want to be, and but you know, we do what we do,
We
and
move.
absolutely. So what's a lesson then? I know, I mean, the boundaries thing could be a lesson, but you already used that as your win, so.
My lesson is learn to, I don't even know how to say it. My lesson was really to not overdo it. So, you know how you just said you had to schedule your stuff out? I had to learn how to schedule and pace myself. Properly pace myself instead of just like, once my mind gets in a mode of saying it has to be done, I'm literally like this 24/7. Go, 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 go. And then I get frustrated because I'm like, yo, nothing's getting done. Like, duh, girl. Because you were trying to do 30 different things at one time. To the point that I had to start back taking my ashwagandha. Because I no longer wanted to take the Wellbutrin and stuff. Girl, I mean, smooth sailing. Like, for real. Yeah, very calm. Very scary calm. But I like it. What about yours? What's the lesson that you've learned this week?
My lesson, I actually went, I had a mushroom trip, and it just was everything. It was, I'm actually doing a TED talk on it. But it gave me what I needed. It basically, like, it was the way that it happened. It was like I did a podcast with my higher self. And it was dope. It was eye-opening. And even though I went in with an intention, you know, the medicine always gives you what you need, not always what you ask for. And I actually did get what I asked for, just not in the way that I, you know, the patient that I had. But essentially, like, my higher self, with all the love in the world, just told me, like, girl, you be talking about feelings, but you are uncomfortable with feeling. You'll definitely hear more about this soon, but it gave me some just to sit in the moment, sit in discomfort, sit in the sometimes painful moments. Like, that's usually where the beauty is. That's where the lessons are. That's where the messages are. We're always trying to, you know, get the goal and, you know, reach the thing. And especially as an entrepreneur, you know, like, it's like we have goals, right? Like, I'm like, I want to speak, I want to reach people, I want to help shift people. But it just kind of was my lesson to just, like you said, like, kind of just slow down and just be present,
Be in the now.
be in the now. So that was my lesson. And then do for self. What you got?
Good idea, man. Doing for myself is actually resting, like literally taking time to rest and reset. And it's all as small as that may be to some, that's huge for me to rest. So, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely part of mine. I had no choice but to, you know, this past weekend. So that was definitely it for me. And then in the shift that I had this past weekend, which you'll hear more about as well, I had like an identity shift, changed my whole program up, like, just revamped a lot of things. I just kind of got more focused on where I want to go. And for me, that was like do for self, because it was like now I feel more in alignment with what I preach and what I, you know, work my clients through. So that was my do for self. Like, yeah, just resting and listening to what my body needs and figuring out moving forward how to prevent certain things from happening, you know, like the burnout, things like that. So I'm super excited to see what the future holds, and working out my new schedule. So there we have it.
The schedule is needed. Yo, everybody calls me when they know. I think I'm gonna have to tell people my schedule because they're like calling. I'm like, hello, guys. Definitely Wednesday. It's definitely podcast time. But it's okay. We move. But I love that for you. I loved hearing when you even told me everything you went through. And it was crazy because you remember I was texting you like in January, like, I just had my own personal spring. So I like it. It's cool. I can't wait to hear more about it.
Yes.
Now, what are we going to dig up that may trigger us today on the Trigger Warning Podcast?
Right, because today we are talking about vices and addictions, y'all. Like, yes, because I think it's important to have this conversation, because I feel like when people think of addictions, they just think of like drugs and alcohol, right? But it's not just that. Like, it's more in the what we're avoiding, and that can go beyond, you know, just your average drugs and alcohol type of problem. I think it's also about like things that we use to cope, things that we use to escape. But I think it's important too to also think about, because like vices, right? Like, I don't feel like they don't always look bad. Like, they're like, sometimes they feel very normal, but If we are using them to numb or to avoid things, then that is when we got to get real with ourselves and be like, what are we doing? What are we running from? Right? I know for me, alcohol was, and it wasn't for me. I realized too, it wasn't just about the actual act of drinking. For me, it was the escaping. I didn't just like, I actually didn't drink all the time, but what I would do is I would drink and then I would drive. So I was just reckless. I would be, it was like the behavior matched the internal chaos that I felt. And I didn't feel safe internally, so it made sense that, my external, my behaviors showed up the way that they did. I didn't feel safe, so I made reckless choices. And I knew it wasn't safe, but I actually operated in that for some time, like way back to my club days. I'm talking about like just testing life. I don't know where it came from, but I think after doing it, and you get that like you drive or something, and then you're like, oh, I made it home. Sometimes like I would be like, I didn't even know how I made it home. I couldn't remember how I got there. It was really bad. But I was running from my sexual trauma, and I was using the drinking, and then that kind of like, I don't know if you would call that a dopamine rush, but like that,
You
like
would.
that it would give you that like euphoria, like you're like, ooh, I'm doing something, like living on the edge type of feeling. And I was just avoiding, feeling really what was in my body. Like we already talked about the body keeps the score, type of thing. So that sexual trauma that I hadn't healed, hadn't faced, the stuff connected with my mother and, like just that dynamic. That was just all stuck throughout my body. I'm talking about like, it showed up as depression, as back pain, as migraines, as heartburn, just in a lot of different ways. And it took me going to jail to wake up. And actually, I don't even want to say just going to jail. It took a moment where I did it, I drank, and I was getting ready to drive. And Kaylee, my daughter, like she was like pleading, and she was like, "Mommy, you're not supposed to be driving like after drinking." And it was just a moment of like, "Fuck!" Like I, you know what I mean? Like your kid. I mean, when you talk about shame and guilt, like that was my moment where I realized. But I know you've previously talked about alcohol too. What was your experience with that?
So I used to just drink. So drinking, in both on both sides of my family is not it, it's there. Let's just call a spade a spade. And they drank heavily. Me, I would drink to be numb, so I didn't have to feel anything that I went through. My wake up call was when I went to a parking lot in Lake Norman where I used to stay. I put my car in reverse and I was drunk. I turned on a song and I was about to put my car. I had my car in reverse and I was just gonna hit the gas so I could just go into the lake. I lie to you not, I woke up at my house. My house was by the lake though, but it was like, from where I was at Smoking Joe's, it was like 10 minutes away. How did I end up back at my home? I do not know. But that was my wake up call, like, girl, what was that bad that you really wanted to just end it all like that? I just felt like for so long I protected myself, honestly. Not because I had no one to protect me, but because I never wanted no one to feel the burdens of the things I was going through. So I was protecting myself. I thought that was better. So that's what I did. But my wake up call was something major that had to happen. I'm thankful because I would not be here today to even tell y'all my story. about what happened.
Right. That's powerful. And I feel like that's like usually how a lot of people's shifts happen. Like it's like their version of rock bottom, you know, where it's like you just honestly, you don't feel like you could go any lower. And some divine intervention happens to shift it for you, you know.
At all
It's
times.
kind of funny that you mentioned like you did it to numb. And I actually feel like for me, because again, I didn't drink, like I wasn't drinking like all the time. Like it was more of a social thing, but when I did, it was the action behind the drinking. So for you to numb, for me, I felt like it was to feel something. Like I felt like I needed to, because after my sexual trauma, after the hypersexuality, things like that, like I was so disconnected from my body. And that's what led me to become hypersexual, because I was like, I need to feel something. I need to, like, you know, I need something. Like I just for a long time I felt like this empty shell. So I drank and then would do things like that, like drive after, because I felt like it gave me some type of sensation that I just was not feeling otherwise, like in my day to
You
day.
had that rush,
Yeah.
that like that pure rush of like, I gotta do it. Like it felt good, right?
Yeah.
Does that make
I
sense? It
mean,
felt good.
and I don't even think, honestly, like most of the time it didn't even, I mean, in the moment, drinking, having fun, like, you know, the social
Right.
aspects, but the actual like driving and stuff, like it wasn't even that it like necessarily felt good, like to me, but I guess my body, again, just it was registering it as, hey, like we're feeling something, like
Something's happening.
let's right, something's there, so let's go with that, you know. But I think that's so important to talk about again, because like obviously the same vice, right? That same kind of addiction just showed up differently for both of us. So I think it's important to have that, because some people may not have that awareness, you know, of something like that. But
Some people don't even know. That's what's really scary. Sorry, my camera keeps going off, y'all. I just got a call that my brother's tire's flat and he has my son with him, so now I have to go meet them. But I'm still gonna do the because ain't nothing stopping over here, baby. Y'all might not see my face, but I'm here. But I don't know. My mine's was really to numb the pain, and I literally had to get help. Therapy when I stopped drinking fully. Because I was one of those people, I was drinking morning, noon, and night. But I was a functioning alcoholic. You wouldn't know I was drunk. I wasn't no sloppy drunk or nothing. I used to drink even on lunch breaks. Like, I got a break. I'm about to drink. Like, what's up? And I was working from home, girl, please. So, I don't know. I don't. That's scary now that I think about it.
Yeah. I mean, but you know, it's scary to think about going back to that. Like, you know what I mean? Like not having all this growth and awareness now, you know, to think about going back to that state of being. That's definitely scary to think about. And I think that's why I'm so passionate about, you know, what we do, what we talk about, and things like that, because it's like I want to help people shift from that. I want people to know that it's possible to get out of it. And
Especially me,
even
I'm
if you're
four
not,
years
you know,
sober.
that's amazing. Yeah. And even if it's not like drinking for someone, but we all have something, like, you know, we're gonna get into a little more beyond the alcohol, but I think I just wanted to start with that, because that's like usually the main thing that people think of when they think of like addiction. But I know another thing for me was I was addicted to being seen. I, for a long time, I had this thing about people knowing my sad story, people knowing my sob story, so that like I could be seen as like the victim. I felt like, and I didn't know this in the moment, this is obviously in hindsight, but it's like I wanted people to feel me, to see my story, to validate my pain, you know, where I felt like, you know, in my family, the trauma and the aftermath of it, I just felt like no one saw how deep those things were affecting me. I felt dismissed in my own family, you know. And I know we talked about it last season a little bit on our what was it, the Grey Goose episode. I was trying to say black sheep, but that was a whole really good episode. If you haven't heard it, you should go back to that one. But I felt like no one saw me, and I needed people to be like, dang, you've been through this, like, but you're doing so great. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I never would have known. I needed people to just validate my just pain, my reason for being here, just validate my experience in general. I felt, and that was for a long time. Like, I would tell any and everybody my traumas, the sexual trauma and all that. Like, and I remember one time my mom saying, like, oh, does it just like everybody know, you know? And it didn't register at the time, but now it makes sense because it's like, yeah, like I felt dismissed and everything. So I was looking, you know, externally for someone to validate me, to make me feel like you're not invisible. You know,
You're
I felt
not
like
invisible.
in the family, I felt like I had to fight for, like, say, like, hey, like, I'm hurting over here, you know, because I was over here after the sexual trauma trying to, once like it happened the way it happened and people didn't believe me, I did my darndest to try to make it seem like everything was normal. Like, I mean, I'm talking about even just being around my abuser, still engaging with my, you know, the person that violated me and just all of it. Like, I just was like, okay, well, my stuff don't matter. Let me push that to the side. And that really caused a lot of issues for me, you know, which leads to the, again, that's just the people pleasing. So it started very early for me. But yeah, I was addicted to being a victim for a long time.
I think so. What's crazy is I just gonna be opposite, right? I wasn't addicted to people pleasing. I was more of a, or being seen, let me say like that. Mine was more of a, I had to be the fixer. I had to fix everyone. Like, if you came to me with your problem, I had to fix you. Like, I had to do it because clearly it was either you came to me because you trusted me or you came to me because you knew I could do it. That's how I thought about it, honestly. And even though that may not have been true, I also had to learn, girl, you can't fix everybody. And everybody's burden is not your burden. And that's something else I learned a few months ago. So while we're sitting here working through things, it's not like we have been worked through this. You know, we're still going through this. We are human with human experience. And a brave, beautiful soul told me, you're not broken, you're not damaged, you're human. You told me that last week, 2 weeks ago. So,
Oh, I said that.
yeah, I just wish everybody knew that. Like, but mine was literally fixing everybody. Like, girl, fix it, fix it. Like, have you ever watched the movie Fix It, Felix?
Yeah, I just watched it again.
I love that movie. That was me. Like, I gotta fix you, but that's not life. It's not.
Yeah. That Wreck-It Ralph Disney movie, that's them Disney movies be hitting with them lessons. I don't know what kind of them whoever be the writers for some of them Disney
They be going through something.
movies, like for
What's
real.
that? What's the other movie? And the reason I will say I'm even worried about the movies is, it's a movie about the emotions. I don't know the name.
Yeah, just watched that one too. Inside Out.
Yes, I think everybody should watch Inside Out 1 and Inside Out 2. Even adults, because it will teach you so much.
Really do. It hits different when you are in a certain stage of your awareness. Like it hits different, you know.
Yes.
But then it's also a great way, like a lot of parents use Inside Out to teach their kids and stuff about feelings too, because they explain it very, very well, very well. And they just break it down in a way that's just really
A child can understand.
so certainly. But I know for me also, and I know for both of us, we both had this one. We were both kind of disconnected from our body for a time, and hypersexuality was those vices, one of those addictions. I think for me, I would try to, I think it was a combination, right, of like suppressing the trauma, also trying to like seek that it was a form of it, that external validation, right? I was just trying to feel something, like I was just trying to, you know, get that. The thing was, even after those experiences, like I would feel something in the moment, but then afterwards I would be like, I would just hit that low again. It would just dip, like, but I kept doing it because it was like I need to get back to at least feeling it for, you know, momentarily.
That minute, yeah.
Like
My
that was more powerful than the after effect for a long time.
mine was definitely hypersexuality. To the point, as everybody know, I'm a very blunt, honest person. I don't have no skeletons in my closet. I didn't care who you were. I didn't need to have no conversations. Let me be honest. It is what it is. We're gonna get busy or we're not. And honestly, even afterwards, I would feel disgusting. But in that moment, it was like, I got what I wanted. Forget you, you know? Unfortunately, but that's just how I felt.
Yeah, I know, like I was definitely just filling voids, you know. I felt, you know, temporarily good in the moment, but then just empty after. Just I literally that was what led to me just honestly just hating myself for a time. Like I truly just was like, I don't even know why I'm here. Like what is my purpose? Like what am I doing? You know? I was definitely just lost. But I thought sex was how you connect with people. I thought it's like I thought that was the thing to do.
I thought that's how you expressed emotion. I had a hard time telling people I loved them. I have a hard time now expressing my feelings in words. And when I say in words, I mean out of my mouth. I can text you how I feel 24/7, but for me to open my mouth and say it, it's really hard for me even till today. But I thought that's how people connected. Like I didn't know, you know, until I got older. And when I started doing my doula work, and you know how some people like, I have sex just to get the stress off. Have you not noticed? Most of the people who say that or something, you know, they be having, I understand colic and all the other things that can keep kids fussy, but some babies are only like that because
Oh, you're muted.
can you hear me? I don't know why it muted me. Some people are just stress babies. Because your nut was full of stress. Like, I don't know if that's how you'll describe it. I hate saying it like that, but yeah.
I mean, it's a whole, you know, energetically, again, the body keeps the score. So that makes sense that, you know, it can just like diseases can be passed through when a woman has a child, you know, that energetic thing, things like that, like stress and, you know, things like that can be passed through as well. Like, and that's honestly why I felt so proud of like my journey. Because when I did, you know, when I got pregnant with my son, that was my wake up call to wake up from that hypersexuality. Well, not to wake up from it, but to heal the parts. Because even though I wasn't actively being hypersexual, the trauma of it, the responsibility, the even the just limiting beliefs around it, like I hadn't addressed those things. So it wasn't until I had my son that that was for me my wake-up call, because I was like, I refuse to be another Black mom, one of them statistics over here with a Black son, kind of treating him like as if he's like my partner type of thing, So I was just like, I gotta heal this. Like, I gotta heal this stuff with the men in my life. And so doing that work, like, I mean, I'm talking about, I was in therapy like 2, 3 times a week. Like, I was just so serious. I was like, but I was also very, I started to become very intentional about my energy, So I was not like, this was the height of some of the stuff in my family, like a lot of things coming to light in the family and things like that. And I like, people wanted answers, people wanted clarity. And like what you said, like you had to hold firm to your boundaries. That was me at that time. I was like, I refuse, because the last thing I need is to be more activated. You know what I mean? Like, as a single mother, pregnant, living, away from family and stuff, I was around like friends that became family, but just not having all of the support, I was like, I don't need to be having these deep, like, dark shadows conversations and end up, activating myself, and then it like internalizing it with my son. You know what I mean? And the last thing I need is to have any type of, because I just knew, I was like, if anything happened. And how that thought is, like, if something is wrong with your child type of thing, that you're gonna think like, oh, it's my fault. So I was just very intentional. I was like, I had to set boundaries. I was like, I can't answer these questions for you right now. Like, I will later. Like, we will certainly address this later, but right now, this period, this is the time period that I need. And I actually asked even for what I needed. I needed people to still show up for me for the birth and things like that. And I was like, I know. And I can only imagine how hard it is, because I know you need clarity. I know there is a lot just kind of lingering, but if you are able to show up for me, I would just so, me and Kai would so appreciate it, And I was really proud of myself in that time. And I think it also showed the level of growth, because even after, it was validating for me as a mom, because people were just like, he's so chill, he's so like, just so happy. And
He is.
it just made me, because I'm like, I did that. You know what I mean? Because that was my reasoning. So
Right.
that's very, I definitely feel that,
I made sure my son was surrounded by people who love and care for him at all times. I made sure I got out of situations where I didn't feel loved and cared about when I was pregnant with him. So that's definitely a major key.
For sure. And I was really, I know that was like hard when you move towards family, even though that was a big support, but I know it also brought up a lot for you. So I was really proud that you made those, the decisions that you did to get what you needed, and you still navigated it. I know you faced a lot of things out there, but like, you've been doing the thing, girl.
Yeah, we've been rocking and rolling. Damn it, it was hard. It was hard. I'm literally sitting here looking at my brother's tire. It's super flat. It's just crazy. But yeah, just navigating through all that is definitely a different thing to do. But it can be rejoiceful at the same time, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, again, the being triggered, being, aware of the things that are uncomfortable for us or painful, like that's again where a lot of we can get light from the dark. So but again, I just want to stress that it's not even just the things that we've talked about, like the vices and the addictions. It goes beyond the substances. Like, sometimes it's the things that we ignore. It could be, you could be addicted to being like a workaholic because you're trying to, kind of hustle to avoid a, or, another thing for me, I know for a time was definitely like binge watching TV, calling it self-care, but you're really just escaping, or
Being on TikTok 24/7.
Social media, you know, that
Yeah.
dopamine, just to numb kind of like any discomfort that you're feeling. That could definitely be it. Excuse
Bless you.
me. Thank you. Emotional eating. You know, for a time, I was actually binge eating, which goes beyond just overeating. Binge eating being, you know, you eat, you get full, and I would still eat full meals after getting full. Like my stomach was hurting and I was getting full. That's how numb that I felt, and I was trying to feel something. So I didn't even recognize until it was beyond the pain.
And you
But
don't even notice until you like go back and compare pictures. You're gonna be like, yo, how did y'all let me get like this? It's like, no, it's not them let you did that. Like unbeknownst to yourself and everybody else around you.
just using food as comfort instead of feeling the thing. Shopping. Hell, I know shopping is a big one for people, you know, because that gives you that temporary high, you know, but it also carries like a deeper emptiness to it, you know. Just in general, seeking validation, that is a vice that most people are addicted to. Most people. It just looks different for different people, but a lot of us, you know, we have codependency. It just shows up in different ways. And essentially, that's just a crutch for us. All of these things, these ways to avoid or escape or numb or to feel, you know, like we said, are some of these things look normal in themselves, right? Oh, I'm just watching TV. Oh, I'm just on TikTok. But again, it's kind of the intention behind it, you know?
But two, people have to realize, so once you beat like one type of addiction, you can have what they call transfer addiction. So that's another thing a lot of people don't know about. So you will stop drinking or eating or something, but then you will go to shopping. Like I went to shopping and buying cups, and then I started working at Burlington, so I started buying so many clothes, and when I moved, I'm like, dang, I still got that. Oh, that still got a tag on it. Like you until you get to the root of the problem, it's always going to be something you're addicted to. And a lot of people don't even know they have addictive personalities. So once you start liking something, it's automatically
Yeah, that's the thing.
tuned fine on that.
And that's, I mean, so again, I think it's important to kind of look for signs. And I'm pretty sure anybody, if you're listening to this, I'm pretty sure something came up for you. It may not have been the things we said. It may have been one of the examples we shared. Not that we necessarily had, but one of these like later examples. It could be something else, but I'm pretty sure something came up for you. So it's important to ask yourself, because it's like, okay, well, how do I know if it's like a vice or an addiction? But I think that we need to ask ourselves, like, is this something that we need to like function or to cope? You know, is it stopping us from dealing with emotions? Because again, like emotions are a lot, right? Like it is not for the weak sometimes to be feeling some of these things that we feel, especially when, you know, sometimes two things can be true and we can have these very different emotions about the same thing. You know, like I know for me, there was this complex dynamic between with my trauma. Like, again, okay, my mother doesn't believe me. She didn't, you know, protect me in the way that I felt that I needed to be protected. I was angry at her, but then I was also like craving her like acceptance and love and validation because, I mean, she's my mom, right? That is a very complex feeling to have to carry, and especially as a child, but let alone as an adult, like it's life is messy like that. So it's important to think about like, is it stopping us from kind of dealing with that? Is it preventing those things from actually coming up? I know for some people, and for me for a long time, I used to have to a coach that I do this like TikTok series, we talk about like dating and love. And she had mentioned something. She was like, I used to have to like watch movies to feel something. Like she was like, I used to have to If I wanted to cry, she was like, I needed to go like watch a sad movie. And I was like, dang, I remember having to do that. But that was because I was so disconnected from my body. If I was by myself, it wouldn't come up. As it was because I didn't feel safe enough for it to come up. It had to be kind of like forced and pulled out of me through like a cinematic experience type of thing.
Right.
So if you're not able to produce like some type of feeling like that, then that's probably a sign, and you probably have some type of vice or addiction to deal with that, to cope with that. Also, if it's something that you feel like you have to justify, even if you know it's not healthy, you know, like the eating thing, or it could be just eating out all the time, you know, like whatever it is, if it's like affecting your relationships, your health, or your growth in some way, shape, or form, it's probably something you need to look into. And overall, it's probably keeping you from facing the real thing, like Dee said, just the root of the issue. Because honestly, every physical dis-ease that we have, every mental health, you know, thing that we have, it starts energetically. It starts spiritually before it manifests into this 3D realm as like something physical. So if you have anything like that, more than likely it's there's something deeper there. And
It's a deeper issue somewhere. Sorry to cut you off, but it's definitely a deeper issue somewhere that needs to be addressed. And a lot of times I've noticed we don't like addressing something, unfortunately. And sometimes it's okay because sometimes addressing some shit is just too deep and it hurts. But that's what you need to address to get to the root of all your problems, most of your problems.
Yeah, and it's not meant to be pretty or comfortable, but the thing is, that's where you know, like, okay, I need help. This is where you get the therapist, the counselor, the coach, whatever that looks like for you, the mentor, you know, even. You find somebody to help you guide through this, you know, and that is another thing too I want to address quickly, is to talk about when you are in awareness of this, like this may bring up some things for you that maybe you hadn't even thought about, you know, like I there were some things that came up for me that I hadn't thought about in a while. When you sit in this awareness, this is not the time to just judge yourself and be shame, you know, like shame yourself or have this, like carry this guilt. Because the thing was, you may not have been in awareness of it in this way to realize, okay, this is something I need to work on, right? You don't know what you don't know until you know it. So be careful in now having this awareness to be like, to not judge yourself and criticize yourself, because that's not gonna get you nowhere. Like it's not gonna do anything for you, you know. So this is the time to say, hey, okay. Because honestly, the thing is, and this is what people don't realize, is the ego is not bad. The ego that led us to, you know, kind of like, you know, engage in some of these things, it was because it was a protective mechanism. We didn't see feeling these feelings, or, you know, like facing these things as safe, which makes sense because a lot of us came through traumatic experiences. So our body still, even if we were out of the house, out of that situation, you know, not around those people, our body still recognized, like, hey, I'm still in survival mode. I'm still in fight, flight, or freeze, right? So it's important to re recognize that and not shame ourselves and not feel this like just overwhelming sense of guilt. Of course, like, okay, you may not resonate with those decisions that you once made. Cool. How can I move forward? What can I, you know, we call it like the replacement principle. What can I replace it with if I'm still engaging in it? But I'm not going to sit up here and be like, oh, woe is me. You such a horrible person. See, you ain't like, no. We're going to meet it with kindness and acceptance because it got us to this point. It helped us feel a little bit more safe, even though it, you know, may not have been the best thing for us, but whatever we were doing to cope, it was a protective mechanism. So we meet that with love, we meet it with care, and we honor the version of us that felt that they did what they needed to do to survive. And I hope if you take anything from today's episode that you remember that. Like, honor that version of yourself. Don't shame it. Don't try to suppress it. Like, it was what it was. But then also, like, meet it with love and say, we don't have to do those things anymore. We're stepping into this new version of ourselves. We're going to replace this behavior or whatever it is with something different, you know? Because what were we looking for? What were we needing in those moments when we went to alcohol? Like, what were we needing? Maybe we were wanting peace. Maybe we were wanting, kind of a sense of freedom. What is that? What can I replace that with? You know, one of my things for me, I went to breath work. And it was crazy because I at first I was like, breathing, that's crazy. Like, what? But once I actually gave it a chance, like, it made sense and it was like, it's so powerful. You got to find something to replace it with. Do you have anything to add on that? What did you end up replacing yours with?
Oh, at one point it was shopping. Then of course I had the gastric bypass surgery, so then it became lifting weights, working out. Now a more healthier thing is journaling and just spending time with my family. Like, because at the end of the day, life is short, and I know that at one point, my life could have been cut even shorter if I would have kept drinking, or, you know. So I just cherish all the moments. And that's where I moved all my stuff to, is like being at peace and cherishing the moments with the people that love me the most. Because at one point, when I was at that dark spot, when I was doing nothing but drinking, I was cherishing people who didn't give a damn about me. Let's be honest. They just cared about me being drunk. Because I was the nice drunk, you know, like, and or people pleasing drunk or whatever. So that's what I did. So that's where I move all mine to.
I like it. Yeah, I know. The journaling has definitely been a big part of my journey as well as meditation and plant medicine, like I said. And especially the meditation, because it was like once I got past my own blockage, which was me, and I learned to actually meditate to sit with myself, it's just so peaceful, so powerful, but also very uncomfortable, you know. But that is definitely like, again, we just want to replace it with healthier forms of processing feelings, whether that's therapy or whatever it looks like for you. Because the thing is, we're in this thing called life in this 3D ghetto ass world. We are in this constant phase, or we should be in this constant phase of learning, unlearning, and relearning. So we learn, we're aware, we unlearn because it's like, okay, now I see that there's this pattern here and it doesn't serve me. So I need to release it. So that's the unlearning. And then it's relearning. What do I need to reinforce? What do I need to replace it with? What action can I take to get closer to this version of me that I am desiring to be? You know? But a big part of that, again, it's just honestly, it's a triple A effect: awareness, acceptance, and action. We're aware, we accept it, no judgment, just truth. And then we replace it with action.
I
And then,
like that.
of course, just self-care, you know, is a big part of that as well, right? To look at that and be like, are we resting or are we escaping? You know, just being kind to yourself, but being real with yourself. Like, it's a balancing act, right? To hold yourself accountable, but being honest. Because I think we naturally lie to ourselves all the time. Like, just that is, it's what we do. Our brain, we usually lie to ourselves. Like,
We do.
it takes some work to really be honest with ourselves sometimes. But also to look at it too, if you don't know, if you can't recognize, one thing I will say is to judge the thing, because it's like, does it make you feel lighter? Because the thing is, if it's actual like real self-care, it's gonna make you feel lighter, not like numbed, not like, again, just trying to escape type of feeling. So in reflection, you can just ask yourself, what's one habit that maybe you learned when things got hard? What's something that you leaned on? And then maybe journal on, like, what are you trying to avoid? What is the thing? What is that helping you to kind of escape? And then sit in the awareness of it. And just remember that healing is not about shaming yourself, because we're always healing. We're in a constant state of healing. It's about recognizing that something no longer serves us and we are now going to choose different. That's all that means. So I just want to challenge anyone listening to sit with the discomfort of whatever the thing is for you, because we all got a thing. We got many things. Sit with the discomfort of the thing instead of running from it. Journal, and you can do the pen to paper. Journaling could be a video, it could be a voice note. But see what comes up for you.
Even your own personal diary is like, when I mean a personal diary, I mean video yourself talking it out. You don't gotta post it nowhere. You can literally just keep it in your phone.
Absolutely. And I know for me, like, I did that. I started writing. Like, it started as like a letter to my mom. And then I got to the point, I was like, fuck this. Like, this is too much, like, to write. Like, so I did a voice note. And I mean, stuff just came out that I hadn't even thought of in years. Like, it's so powerful. And the thing is, because when we stop numbing, when we can face it, and we kind of talked about this at the end of the Uncomfortable Truths episode, the premiere, is once you face those things, people can't use them as a weapon formed against you. And once you stop numbing the thing and you face it, you can really truly start living. Because it's not until we unlock these levels of freedom within us that we can truly attain peace and self-love. Like, I literally did not know. I'd heard about it, but I did not know what that was until I actually did therapy and did the work, did the shadow work. Like, it was not a thing. It sounded good. Like, I got my nails done and things like that. Like, oh, self-love, self-care. But it's not until we face those things that we can actually experience true freedom and peace.
And true freedom and peace are definitely the number one.
Right. Because when you get it, I mean, listen, I ain't going back. I don't want it. I ain't going back. So I hope you guys took something from today. I hope that, we talked about a few different things, a few different ways to recognize and what to do once you do recognize. I hope that if you did get something from it, please like it, share it. Subscribe. I don't know. I hope all those things apply to whatever platform you are listening on, whether it's YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, all the things. Because these are conversations that, again, need to be had. And if it helps you in any way, shape, or form, even if you've, started to heal things or whatever the case may be, like, it can definitely help someone else. So please don't be afraid to, again, share it with someone. And we certainly hope that we can find you on the next live episode, y'all. It's going to be February 5th. We are doing live episodes every first Wednesday of the month.
March 5th.
What? I did it again. I did that last time too. Why am I stuck in
I mean,
February?
we can spend the block on my birthday one more time for the one time.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. March 5th, yes, at 7 p.m. Eastern. If you would like to join the tribe and get the reminders of the episodes and things like that, you can text the word podcast to 833-438-4444. 459-4201. And that will also be in the show notes in the description. And yeah, do you got something final for us?
All I got for him is to stay triggered, baby. And the other thing I gotta say, if you notice, if every time you're doing something good, like we're doing, something will pop up to like try to get you off your game. Y'all, I was really dead prepared for today. Like I was hyped, okay? Now I'm ending it sitting out here with my son in the back, my brothers. And my dad trying to change my brother's tire. But it's not stopping nothing. They
Yeah, I love that.
get at one point in life, this would have just frustrated me. You know? What's the point of getting mad? You adjust and you keep moving. So while staying triggered, you'll learn all of your ways to cope. So that's all I got.
And I'm
You
proud
know,
of you.
my favorite
Yeah,
saying
I
is
definitely
stay
noticed
triggered.
the energy. I was like, I didn't even know. Unless, you know, until you said it, like that there was a issue. So I think that's dope. I mean, everything, the triggering moments are definitely opportunities, you know. So I love it. Yeah, that's perfect way to end it. So thank y'all for listening. Catch us in a couple weeks with a new episode and stay triggered.
Stay triggered.